You're listening to 47 Beers Ago, a comedy podcast where we tell you stories you won't find in your history book while we sip beers. I'm Katie.
I'm Delmar.
I'm Dallas.
Okay, and today we're going to try something new. We've got this card game called... What?
Never mind.
We good to go?
I think some people have heard these stories, or my stories.
Some of them might have been heard before, but some of them you might not have heard before.
It's cool stuff.
Disclaimer, we're not promising that you've never, ever, ever heard the stories before.
We knew to one person, at least.
At least one person, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So... because, like, I had never heard...
For those of you non-Catholic...
I had never heard... Well, there are people who like history who are not Catholic. Thank you. Anywho.
That's
so,
true.
For this episode, we're going to try something that we may continue on with. We have this card game. It's called Buzzed. They are not sponsoring us. But, basically, all you do is just read what the card says. And the card says something about drinking. So we're going to try and use this to determine who gets to go first. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Which player most needs to be checked into anger management? The person with the most votes drinks to chill the fuck out. It's probably me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to take my drink here. Okay, so this episode was inspired by a comment that I actually made in the last episode that we recorded about how...
Enlighten me, I forget.
So, April 15th, there was that fire in Notre Dame Cathedral in France, and people were all outraged at how much money was raised for that, considering that there's nobody, you know, that we haven't solved world hunger kind of thing.
How much money was raised for that?
Oh, gosh, a lot. Do you know offhand? Can you Google that? So a bunch of money was raised to restore this historical monument, and people are upset because...
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
Raised in donations in 2 days.
Right, which is a lot of money, and yes, world hunger is still a thing and stuff, but also, like...
That's impressive.
But anyway, so, with that all being said, in the last episode that I recorded that I believe was released before this one... I was talking about the statue of the bear that was built in Scotland. That was like, what was it, like $500,000 spent on a statue of a bear?
Something like that, pretty close.
So that's kind of how we got where we are. And so that was the inspiration for this. The statue of the bear.
Yeah, I know, but how we got from the statue of the bear
because
being
we
$500,000 to the $1 billion raised.
Well, we didn't have a number, but it was kind of one of those things where we were like, well, nobody complained when they spent $500,000 on a bear instead of world hunger.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's how we got to Notre Dame. And then...
I made that leap.
And then you, Dallas...
Somehow.
You, Dallas, were like, well, let's do an episode on Paris. And here we are.
France, Paris,
yeah. Yes.
I see your underpants.
John Mark.
Nope.
You just looked, oh gosh. So, fair warning, I'm a lightweight. We got started a little bit late on this episode, and I have had a shot of tequila for a risk competition that I'm in with my friend, and I also have had a beer. You had 3 shots? John Mark.
Oh. I've only had...
Okay.
And he's had a full beer.
So, not only am I a little bit tipsy...
Still about halfway.
I'm a little bit tipsy and I don't speak French. So I'm not going to be super strict on my pronunciations here. Anyway. Georges Perec. I don't know if that's how you say it. It's George with an S at the end. Because French. He was born March 7th of 1936 in Paris. And he was the only child of Polish-Jewish immigrants, which my sister and I went back and forth on last night, whether it's Polish-Jewish or Jewish-Polish. But I think it's Polish-Jewish, because if you said Irish-Catholic, it wouldn't make sense to say Catholic-Irish. So I'm pretty sure it's Polish-Jewish. Anyway, Jewish and from Poland, and they immigrated. His father died in World War II from untreated wounds. And his mother was being taken by the Nazis to Auschwitz. It's presumed that she...
You said it properly.
Yeah, I took 4 years of German. Oh, my sister's coming in. So that's going to interrupt this recording a little bit. It's presumed that she died in the concentration camp, but she also may have died en route. It's another French phrase. I'm just going to pause my story right here because we're going to edit this part out.
You mean ennui.
No, it's... ennui is different.
Not ennui. Ennui.
I don't know what that
is. Like Henry.
It's up.
Yeah, but en route is also a thing. He was then adopted by an aunt and an uncle on his father's side. And he went on to study at the Sorbonne, which has a lot of historical significance. I tried to get a synopsis on it, but there's just way too much information, so I didn't go down that rabbit hole.
There's too many Shane.
What?
Shane. It's a movie. Old movie. West boy West. Says to the cowboy, there's too many Shane.
Oh, that's what's his name. Okay, okay. So after he was done at the Sorbonne, he joined the army as a paratrooper in 1958.
You in the army.
You know what?
Hey, no judgments. Just saying.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
But right.
So this is where it gets interesting. And Dallas, I think you're really going to like this part of the story too.
I'm going to love this part of the story.
1967, he joins... I'm going to butcher this because it's a lot of French. The Ouvrier de Literature...
Au revoir.
No, it's not.
Let me see.
No, it's... No, stop. You can't look at my notes. It's O-U-B-R-O-I-R.
Au revoir.
Right, but au revoir is different.
Au revoir.
Whatever, au revoir. I don't give a shit.
That's probably what it means.
De literature potentiel, which is French for workshop of potential literature.
Okay. Duh.
Duh. I took German in high school.
Well, I mean, just from the French, you can sort of guess.
Sure to tell.
Well, I didn't know what au revoir means.
I mean, it tells you.
Or au revoir. I don't know. I didn't take French. No, I'm not having a stroke. I'm speaking French.
So, yes, she's having a stroke.
Okay, so anyway, this group believed in inspiration through constraints in their writing style. They're a literary group. So, Dallas, hold your horses. It gets better.
Never mind.
He wrote a lot of things that are more famous and more awarded than this, but this was the one
I'm sorry.
Can we what?
Nothing.
No, say it.
I was just wondering if we could hear one.
It's in French. Maybe, here, why don't you eat your s'more while I talk a little bit more, and then we can...
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay, but...
Hey, John Mark, make a comment, please.
No, I'm good for now. I'm listening to our story.
So. Okay, so...
As I should be.
Eat your s'more.
She's gonna hit me.
This is too similar.
I'm not going to hit you. High fives for that one.
Knuckles. There you go.
Okay, so the one that I found the most interesting, it was not the first, it was not the last, and it was supposedly not the most awarded and well known.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this
9:47.
Yes, and I'm like three lines in. We have a running theme here.
I have this effect on people, you know?
No, you don't. Eat your s'more. You haven't even taken one bite. That makes me anxious. Do you remember that history teacher that we had in high school who was
Mr. Pfeiffer?
He would every day, I had him like second period, and he'd have his cup of coffee and he'd carry it, he'd bring it to his lips like he was gonna drink it, and then he'd remember something he was gonna say. And he'd just like constantly like bring it to his lips and never drink it for like the entire 50-minute period. And I don't know if he did that the period before or the period after, and I'm not sure if he was just trying to get people to pay attention. But it put a lot of people on edge because we were all just like
drink, trying to build up the suspense.
Drink the damn coffee.
Exactly.
He was a good teacher though, other than that. Okay, so this group inspires him to write La Disapparition in 1969, which is French for the void. Sorry, Disparition. Yes, 69. So this novel is written without using the letter E at all. Yeah, I saw it. It's on the whiskey bottle. So he wrote this entire novel. I think it was like 3,000 words.
6.9.
Stop it. It's like 3,000 words or 300 pages or something like that.
Without E?
Without the letter E, which is the most common letter in the French language. It did, however, it should be noted, have correct sentence structure and was grammatically correct and did make sense.
It is also the most common language, common letter in the English, or the American language.
American is not a language.
Yeah, well, we've bastardized every language there is.
Well, no, we took it from the English, and the English bastardized it.
Well, we're...
Okay, this is an argument we don't need to have.
Germanic.
As I think.
Germanic or Romance?
It's Germanic, but it's not a Romance language, no. English is not a Romance language.
No, but we've taken some of their
But
stuff
we took too. It from, yes, we've taken it from the French, from the German, from Latin, from Greek. We took it from a whole bunch of different languages. Stop it. Dallas,
I don't even have to say it. That's what she said.
I'm going to be really obnoxious during his segment. John Mark, are you with me?
John Mark's just going to sit there and listen.
Okay. So, anyway, it should also be noted that this means, without the use of the letter E, he could not use the word et, which means and, mm-hmm. je, which means I, mm-hmm. elle, which means she, mm-hmm. elles, which means they, mm-hmm. and almost all of the masculine pronouns, which are almost all of them are preceded by le, mm-hmm. l-e.
Mm-hmm.
And some believe that this choice of letter omission is a metaphor for the loss of his parents, mm-hmm. as the omission of e in the writing also meant that he cannot use the word para, which is father, mera, which is mother, parents, which is spelled exactly the same as how we use parents, and famille, which is F-A-M-I-L-L-E, which I didn't look up, but I'm pretty sure means family. And mm-hmm. he also...
Or siblings.
Could be. Did you take French in high school?
No, but I played word cookies in the French and the English. American.
I'm sorry, you
word,
did
Word what? Cookies is an app.
I figured that much out. Is this like Words with Friends?
No. It's just trying to make words from... like, unscramble the letters and make words.
En français? Coco.
And it has it in both English and French. There are two options.
Okay, so he also could not write his actual name because his name is like half E's. So he changed it to Gargis Parak.
Which means?
That's his name without the E's in it. And he changed like all of the vowels to A's. Okay. Additionally, the word or the phrase sans E, which is French for without E, mm-hmm. sounds very similar to sans E. I think that's how you say it. I looked this up yesterday and I forget how you say it, but it's E-U-X, which means without them.
Oh. E-A-U.
Sans O. Okay, whatever.
Oh.
Oh. Anyway.
Which is water. E-A-U?
No, it's not. It means without them. It's E-U-X. E-A-U is O.
Oh.
This is E-U-X.
U.
Whatever.
Sounds you.
You don't know French either.
Phonetics.
Phonetics doesn't work with French. French has so many
sound letters. Keep moving.
That's what she said.
This is why we can't get anywhere.
You're why we can't get anywhere. Okay, so this book was also translated into multiple different languages, and each translator also left out the letter E. As, I guess, sort of an homage or a challenge.
Homage.
Love it.
Which is another French word. I'm fairly certain. Interestingly enough, he also went on to write a companion book called Les Revenantes, which is the ghosts, which only uses E as a vowel. Sorry, there are a lot of mosquitoes in here, so the sound you hear is me killing mosquitoes.
Fruit flies?
Or attempting. No, they're mosquitoes. They were definitely biting. So he wrote this companion book, which only uses the letter E as a vowel. And Jacques Robaud, who is evidently famous in some way.
I've heard of him.
I've never heard of him. Noted that it would also be possible to write a third piece that used only words not found in either of the first two letters, or first two novels, which would mean words, only words that had the letter E and another vowel. So you'd basically write three different books using three completely different words, three completely different sets of words that would never overlap.
That sounds pretty cool.
Right? Tell me.
I want to know what they are translated, because I don't read French very well.
Well, you could look it up. It's called the first one's called The Void. It's translated in English, and the second one's called The Ghosts. Also translated in English, I believe.
Alright.
Read these if you want
to. Alright, well, give me the later.
Okay. And there's a little bit of, like, gray area about this one, but we're going to go with this as fact.
Right.
Well, because...
Fact.
They can't put anything on the internet that's not true. It's my boyfriend. He's a French model. Bonjour. So, I think it depends on what you mean by first novel, because I think there were some sources that used a different novel, and I think that they were using, like, first published novel. But from what I gather, the first novel he ever wrote was Le Condottieri.
Wow.
Beautiful French, right? Which is
that was beautiful French.
I don't know if I pronounced it right.
It sounded really beautiful.
Thank you. English's Portrait of a Man was published in 2014.
Wait, Portrait of a Man?
Portrait of a Man. I think there's a painting also called
Portrait of... Yes.
It's the one with the umbrella, right?
That might be. I'm probably confusing it with...
Anyway.
Something else.
That was, from what I gather, the first novel he ever wrote, but it was not published until 2014. He wrote a lot of other super interesting pieces, but another...
Yeah, I'm gonna have to leave that.
But another one that I found particularly interesting... So he was not only a writer, he was also an artist, and I think he wrote screenplays, too. But he wrote a spoof scientific paper a la Modest Proposal, Jonathan Swift, if you guys are familiar with that one.
No? Jonathan Swift, yes. Modest Proposal, not so much.
So Modest Proposal is Jonathan Swift's, I think, his most famous one. It's the only one I've ever heard of, but basically he writes this satiric piece about how we could solve world hunger and overpopulation by eating babies.
This sounds like a pretty modest proposal.
Upon first reading, you don't necessarily recognize it as satire because you're just taking in all of the information, but then, like, when you read it and analyze it a little bit more, it's like, okay, like, this is clearly satire. Anyway, so he wrote this spoof scientific paper, which had a really long French name that I couldn't figure out. And I'm not going to attempt. And it was about the, quote, yelling reaction that was provoked by throwing rotten tomatoes at sopranos. For those of you,
Shakespeare.
For those of you who are non-musically inclined, soprano is the highest pitch of a singing voice or instrument, like the highest range. So one can only presume that the sopranos in question would be either women or young boys, and I presume that it would be women that he was throwing, alleging to throw rotten tomatoes at.
That's how they played women in the Shakespeare plays, was young boys.
Yeah, but they didn't throw tomatoes at him.
Well, that's because Shakespeare was just that good.
Well, yeah. No, it's not because Shakespeare
was... And he told the audience exactly what was going to happen before it even happened.
Well, but here's the thing that you're missing out, is that Shakespeare did not pick young boys to play sopranos just for the fun of it. It was that women were not allowed to participate because a lot of these things were done in the nude.
That's true.
So it was more of a time thing. Women were not allowed to be in theater, so boys played women.
That's true.
But anyway, this was...
Monty Python.
At any...
Of course, those were grown men.
At any rate, though, this was only... He died in 1981, so this was like in the 60s and 70s, so that's not even close. And this was also a spoof paper. This was not a...
1960, yeah, okay.
He did not actually throw tomatoes at people to get their yelling reaction. But as I mentioned, he did die in 1981 at age 45, just a year after he was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Probably from yelling too much.
Too much soprano.
Okay, so now, what do you guys think? Should we pull another card and see which one of you is second?
Sure.
Go for it, John Mark.
Quick, everyone put up their middle finger. The last person to do so drinks. Dallas, you lose. John Mark, you want to go second or last?
Last.
No.
Second.
Yes.
Don't let him bully you.
No.
Okay, Dallas, you're up.
Nope.
All right, I'll go.
Ish. I win.
No, don't let him win. Dallas.
We'll do it together.
Dallas, your turn. Oh,
okay. Gosh.
Dallas, it's your turn.
All right, fine. Sorry, guys. As mentioned before, this podcast was inspired by...
This episode?
Hunchback of Notre Dame when he smashes face into a bell.
Yes. And you know what?
We have a joke for you at the end.
We're going to get to that at the end. Surprise!
You are, John Mark.
No, not.
That's what he said.
I didn't agree to this.
Surprise.
I think I have a text message from you in which you do.
You know what? Why don't we?
Okay, tell your story.
Okay, so I did my research on Notre Dame. Not Notre Dame, that college in...
Indiana.
Thank you, Indiana. But Notre Dame, the one in Paris, France. So,
the one that they have that movie about, that's really... That was the first movie that I ever saw in theaters, is Hunchback of Notre Dame, by the way. And that isn't... I've seen that as an adult, and that is not a children's movie. It's a good movie, but
it's... really good movie.
It's a really intense movie. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
And, like, have you seen that meme where it's like, this is the original Friend Zone, Hellfire is the original Friend Zone song?
You know what? I haven't seen it in long enough. I need to watch it again. But, you know, the book actually came well before the movie. Like,
yes, it did. That book is like hundreds of years.
100 something. Couple more hundred. Than 100 years before the movie. Yeah, like probably 150 years or more. Anyway, so trying to find some interesting stories about Notre Dame. Couldn't really find anything. Then realized that I had overlooked the two most important stories. So, St. Denis and St. Genevieve are the patron saints of Paris.
Paris.
That's right, if we're being French.
French.
Thank you.
Parlez-vous français?
Oui, monsieur. Mademoiselle.
Monsieur!
Sorry.
I never. Do you hear this disrespect, John Mark?
Yes, he does, and he laughs.
Go ahead.
Inside. Like I do. St. Denis, he was, well, what's that off with this head thing? The
guillotine?
No, I think that was a...
sword?
It was a sword or an axe, probably. Your original axe murderer.
Did they ask him first?
Who was the axe?
I don't know if they asked him first.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who was what?
St. Denis.
But he was
one of the patron saints.
Yeah, but he was axed.
I think he axed somebody. Yeah, I think they asked him if he was
No, stop.
Catholic Christian, and he was like, "Heaven, yes, I am."
So why was he killed though? You're skipping
for being Christian.
But like, why was that a problem back then? I feel like you skipped some exposition there. Okay, go ahead.
I think it did. Anyway, yeah. So
he was murdered for being Catholic. Okay.
I thought that's what I said.
Yeah.
They asked him if he was Catholic, and he said, "Heaven, yes." And they're like, "All right."
I'm just recapping and trying not to like get on my soapbox about it. Go ahead.
They recapped his head.
No, they decapped his head.
Oh, they decapped. See.
Decapitated. Decapitated.
So he
likes
coffee, then?
I like mine decap.
Okay, that was probably really loud. I'm sorry.
That was really good, though. I like it.
That's what she said.
All right. St. Denis, he was beheaded in the 3rd century. The exact dates are a little iffy.
Disagreed upon.
Right. Sometime between 1251 and 251 and 275 or something in there. Legend has it that he actually picked up his own head. Mind you, his decapitated head.
What a badass.
He was a badass. He was a bad head. He was a bad head.
He was having a bad hair day.
Yes, he was.
You sure about that?
You try not to lose your head when people are persecuting you.
Yep. So, he apparently walked for 6 miles.
Six, dang.
Walked or ran? I thought you said it was 6 kilometers.
Ran, kilometers, miles.
There's a big difference.
There's a whole lot of differing stories on this one. 6-something miles or kilometers.
6 units of distance that were very long.
Right. So it was either 3.6 miles or 6 miles. Either way, it's a long way to go with your head cut off.
With your head in your hands.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And then he gently, very normally, put his head down, and that is where he died.
He laid his head down.
He laid his head to rest.
To rest.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
And if I die before I wake, because my head's been decapitated, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
There you go. Amen. And that's where we will end this. No. But that would be nice.
So what is the significance of St. Denis?
Right.
To Notre Dame, Our Lady.
So, a shrine was erected on the spot of his death.
Why is that funny? You think death is funny?
No. Erected.
Rigor mortis.
That's true.
It happens. It does. I feel so bad.
So.
Not as bad as, or I feel way worse than you feel about living.
He is invoked in the Catholic circles for the for protection against.
Decapitation.
No. Next best guess. Headaches.
Running? Oh.
Running
marathons?
Probably. Yeah, you'd probably have a headache. If your head was decapitated.
Actually, you probably wouldn't feel anything, but that's okay.
Right, I mean, you know, it's, you know, head pains. Head pains. I got head pains.
Pain in my neck.
So, sort of ironic.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
you're a pain in my neck.
Just
take off his head. You'll be right. Did you hear about the one, did you hear about the person who got his left side
He's all right now.
Yeah. So he's also the patron saint of Paris.
Paris.
Along with Saint Genevieve. Thank you.
It's Genevieve.
Saint Genevieve.
I love that name. It's so pretty.
Yes. So her prayers were attributed to the saving of Paris when Attila the Hun. You heard right. Attila the Hun.
Ooh, he's dangerous.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you for your contribution, John.
He diverted his forces away from the city and attacked a nearby city.
That's smart.
But it was her prayers, or at least that's what they're attributing it to. Her prayers are the thing that diverted Attila's forces from the city to the nearby one. She was also, did you know, she was one of the first, okay, probably not. False story.
But we're going to state it as fact.
Yes. Because I said it with such confidence, it must be true.
Well, because that's what we've just decided.
So she was also a negotiator, one of the first in the world, you know, a hostage negotiator.
I feel like that's probably not true, but anyway, go ahead.
We're stating it as fact.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
She was also a negotiator, a hostage negotiator as well, for the besieged city of Paris.
Besieged.
By collecting food and convincing the besieging king.
Besiege.
To release prisoners.
It's kind of how a hostage negotiation works, so that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. She was one of the first hostage negotiators.
Are you trying to put that bottle cap back
like
on the price bottle? Priceline
negotiator. Right? Priceline negotiator.
It's an old commercial. I don't remember that. I kind of remember that. But why are you putting the bottle cap back on the bottle?
Okay, so.
Does it matter?
Jumping back to the chapel.
Going to the chapel. And we're
gonna get married.
Okay, go ahead. Going back.
You'll learn more about that later, probably. Maybe.
Probably
maybe
not. It's just
probably
sort
not.
Of an inside joke. It's fine.
It's an inside joke. The chapel was later expanded at the site of St. Denis, where he finally laid his head to rest, to become what we now know as the Cathedral of Notre Dame. So, segue. And no, I don't actually have one of those motorized scooter thingies. Those are so cool.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we did.
I was just very disappointed. That'll be in some of our Patreon-only content.
There are a couple of things that most people think of when they hear the words Notre Dame Cathedral. They are the bells.
Cried the bells of Notre Dame.
And
Notre Dame.
The rose windows.
Never heard of them.
You will.
Are you going to tell us about them?
Yeah. A couple of quotes first, though.
Wait, did we get to how this is related to St. Denis?
Yeah, we just sort of breezed over the fact that that what we now know as Notre Dame Cathedral was built sort of over on top of, really, the shrine that was built.
That's
at
not
the
what
site
I read.
Of St. Denis, which was also happened, which all of it happened to be built on top of this pagan city.
Wait. Pause. I thought that Notre Dame was built in response to some sort of chapel that was built for St. Denis because somebody was like, I can make something better than this, and then they built Notre Dame.
Actually, I think Notre Dame actually encompasses the chapel.
I like my version better. Go ahead.
But you might be right. I think because from
right.
When I was...
Maybe crazy. Billy Joel, go ahead.
But you just might be the...
But it just may be a
lunatic
you're looking
for. Yeah.
Turn out the lights.
Oh, that's probably
Don't
me.
Don't try to save me. Anyway, where were you?
A couple of quotes.
It's gonna take forever. That's what she said.
Okay, no. Skip that. 19 of the 20... bells. They were very beautiful.
And the other one was the ugly stepsister.
No, no. Belle means beauty in French.
I know what Belle means. I've seen Beauty and the Beast.
Well, then fine.
Bella notte is Italian for beautiful night. Romance languages.
What a beautiful night. Well, this is actually
and
a beautiful night.
They call it Bella notte, yeah. This is the night, it's actually a beautiful night, and they call it Bella notte. Look at the guys.
I'm thinking about the pizza thing.
Well, you're thinking of Lady and the Tramp.
No, no. When your eye hits
the sky. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
There you go. That's
that means love.
Yes, I know that. Yeah, that's...
Okay, get back to the bells.
So, 19 of the 20 bells were melted down during and made into cannons during the French Revolution.
French Revolution.
Only the biggest, called Emmanuel, actually all 20 of the bells had names. I did not find out their names.
Rudolph.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer,
Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph, and Emmanuel.
How many is that? Dasher, Dancer, Prancer,
there's
Vixen,
nine.
Cupid,
ten. Donner. So we need 10 more.
Well, okay, that's 10. Dopey, Happy, Sneezy, Grumpy,
Sleepy,
Bashful,
Doc.
And Doc. Okay, three more. Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
There you go.
There we go.
And Dreamy.
Who's Dreamy?
Well.
I'm Dreamy.
Otherwise, Christmas.
No, Dreamy, not Dreaming.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Got him started. This is on my phone. Okay, on topic. Emmanuel.
So only the biggest, Emmanuel, was spared. Now, part of it might be that the clapper, that little... dangly thing.
Your uvula?
Yeah, the uvula. So a bell's uvula is called a clapper. And that thing
alone... And that's
alone,
also that thing with the lights, where if you clap, it goes on and off.
Yes. And so that thing alone, that little uvula, the bell uvula... That's funny.
It's like the ones in the back of your mouth.
Yeah.
So the bell's uvula weighed 1,100 pounds by itself.
Dang.
That's half
just the uvula.
Half a ton.
Weighed a half a ton. So you can imagine if the uvula weighed a half a ton and that nice little dangly thing in the back of your throat, imagine how much the body weighs.
Or in the bell.
That was one heavy bell. But boy, could she sing.
You heard her?
No, he didn't. He's just zooming.
No, actually, you can hear her today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't hear her.
Well, not from here. You're not in France. Or Paris.
Paris is in France, so good job.
Thank you. I still know where Paris is.
Paris married... I ship that he married Rosaline.
No. Paris is the god.
No, Paris was the one who wanted to marry Juliet.
No,
she
the hero.
Was dumb.
No, well, there was a... Okay, there's
well,
more
there
than one Paris.
There's more than one Paris. We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, and then there was Paris in the Odyssey.
And there's Paris Hilton, I know.
And Troy, right?
Well, it's Helen of Troy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so...
We know our classics.
Yeah, we do.
In our pop culture. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, right, the uvula clapper thing itself weighs 1,100 pounds.
Half a ton.
That's in metric units, not in, like...
Well, a ton is 2,000 pounds, right?
Right. But also...
You're a mechanic,
pounds,
don't you know?
But also pounds is... The monetary unit.
I'm sure that they were not measuring it in monetary units.
Because that thing is priceless. They were replaced, all the bells were replaced except for Emmanuel. In the 1800s, the 17th century, so actually it was the 1600s. It was the 1600s. They were replaced in the 1600s, the 17th century, and restored in 2013 to their original 17th century sound. So they were replaced in the 19th century. They were restored in 2013 to their 17th century sound.
How did they do that?
Because the craftsmanship is not as...
But how did they know what it sounded like?
It's not as
was
good.
It a vampire? Was there a vampire involved? Because how would they know what it sounded like back then?
Vampires aren't real, so...
No. That's out of the question. I'm sure they had...
So
they
then
had,
how did they know?
It was the seven... It was the 1600s. They had...
They asked a really old person.
They had musical...
Really old
they had
okay,
musical
okay.
recordings.
Like in Indiana Jones when he finds the what's his name... Who was protecting the ark?
Yeah.
Or not the ark, the cup. The whatchamacallit?
Chalice.
No, but what was the name of that movie?
Indiana Jones, the something Holy Grail.
Holy Grail, that's
there
the
you,
the Grail.
The Grail.
Chalice.
Chalice
Chippers.
Chalice Chippers.
Okay. So, no, but they had recordings
Quest
back then.
Quest for the Holy Grail? No, that was Monty Python.
Yeah.
The Vorpal Bunny.
See, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, something Crusades.
The Lost?
Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't know. Anyway, finish your story.
The Temple or something.
Temple of Doom.
Temple.
But that's the other one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that was first, though.
I think so. That was the one with the aliens.
Maybe it was...
No, the aliens.
No, the last one was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
That's
oh!
Which, I didn't like that one as much. It was really good up until the end, because all
They're
the other ones
another
had...
one.
What?
What? Yeah. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is still alive?
Yeah, he is. He's like 70.
Yeah, you see what he looks like? He's got like a long beard.
Oh, he's fine.
He's a good looking dude.
He's fine. He aged well. I mean, you know...
He's just, like, very old-American
He is dead in a couple movies.
He's not dead in real life. That's how movies work, Dallas.
Well, that's good. Because I don't know if I could...
Handle him dying one more time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, halfway done.
Oh, we're halfway there. Go ahead.
Last Crusade.
Ah,
that's
thank
the one.
You.
Yeah.
Had something to do with the Crusades. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I'm sure they had recordings or something of the bells. So,
okay.
And, yeah. But in any case, the sound was much more discordant than it was. So, all right. After the French Revolution, blah, 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 blah. Moving forward. For various reasons, the cathedral was in bad shape.
Some stuff happened through the French Revolution.
A lot of stuff happened during the French Revolution. There was a lot of death and, you know, like, destruction and decay
over the cathedral
because
there was stuff about who was in charge.
And there was, like, the Germans and the French and the English.
Dude, the English were all up in everybody's shit.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot
and
of
the aliens,
stuff.
Yes.
There was a lot of stuff going on, and so it was kind of really. It was in really bad shape, and had been and actually, for a minute there, had been for a hot minute. Because a hot minute is longer. Yeah, that's never mind. Has been used. It had been used as little more than a warehouse. That's just gross. So Napoleon, lots of famous people, a bunch of famous people, were coronated there. I mean, they were made like king or emperor or whatever. Joan of Arc was declared a saint there in 1909. Napoleon. Crowned himself emperor in 1804.
self-centered much?
French, France is filled with a lot of that kind of history.
And
judging this.
And is it Henry the
11th?
Thank you. I think.
XI 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the 11th. And he was also crowned king in the cathedral. But Napoleon's coronation as emperor in 1804 in Notre Dame brought the cathedral to new prominence. Brought it up into the, you know, people's minds. Because it had sort of fallen by the wayside there. Sort of like not Catholicism.
Protestantism?
Anyway, there was a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of back and forth
going on.
I was reading about that, which is a whole other rabbit hole that we don't need to go down. Basically, there were times when France was ruled by Catholics and times when France was ruled by Protestants back and forth, and the cathedral was sort of being fought over during those times.
Right, and actually, Napoleon actually went to the Holy See, being S-E-E, in France, I think, at the time, and basically said, here, you Catholics are going to take back control of the cathedral.
Okay.
But it actually wasn't Napoleon that brought it back to life. It was actually Victor Hugo, the author.
Who wrote Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, although we called it Hunchback of Notre Dame, it was really Notre Dame de Paris.
Which is just French for Notre Dame of Paris.
Right. Which, the Hunchback of Notre Dame was not the primary character in that book.
Was it Esmeralda?
No, it was Notre
Dame.
Was it
the army captain? That's not a character.
Well, that was the prime. That was the primary. That was the primary subject.
But it's a okay. But
that was
that's
the Hunchback of Notre Dame was not the important part of the story.
But
the important part of the story was the the commentary, as it were.
Well, yes,
on the state of Notre Dame.
But hear me out. Notre Dame is not a character. It's a setting.
Fine. I'll give you that. Hold on, I actually have a quote here.
Oh, God. Guys, this recording has gone on longer than last week's, and we're not even to John Mark's story yet.
It'll be quick.
Oh, gosh, that's what she said.
You know what? Forget it, we can add it later.
Add what later?
There's a quote from the book by Victor Hugo that sort of resonated with the French people. It talked about the sorry state of Notre Dame. It's, yeah.
Anywho.
but not least. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. I know, it's been too long.
But this is funny.
We're gonna figure this out sometime, and things will get better.
I'm enjoying this. I think this is going to make for some good content. Go ahead.
Okay, so last but not least, one of the other things most people think of when they hear about the Cathedral of Notre Dame is its incredible rose stained glass windows. There are three of them.
Like they're rose colored or they have roses on them?
They are in
like
the shape of roses. Now
so
they're
familiar with them.
They're actually made by creating the shape, the outline in stone or whatever.
Right, I'm familiar with stained glass.
So you create the outline first, and then you put the stained glass into it so that it can be in the shape of a rose. And these are not roses in your in the typical like flower sense, but it's a design.
I'm very confused. We'll have to find it and post a picture.
Yes.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Yes. There's a little bit of description that I have here. So the other well-known and loved feature of the Notre Dame Cathedral are its three rose windows, which were built between 1225 and 1260 A.D.
Did you say A.B.?
A.D.
Okay, good.
The three windows depict many saintly scenes and figures. The south rose window was actually a gift from King Saint Louis IX. It is the grandest of the three windows, containing 84 panels in four concentric circles, containing first the 12 disciples, which are surrounded by biblical scenes from the Gospel of Matthew, then famous martyrs and virgins, and then angels and our two patron saints of Pali, Saint Genevieve and Saint Denis. That's it.
Awesome, awesome. John Mark, would you like to tell your story?
Sure. So my story is about, probably took about like 20 minutes.
Okay, cool, cool.
Just thought I had some foreshadowing.
That's better than mine, which took like an hour and a half.
I need a nap. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, it's about Charles X.
King?
King Charles X.
X, yeah. Okay.
Of France.
Français.
He started his kingship in September of 1824. His reign lasted till August 1830.
How long six is that years? Reign?
Sure. Yeah, 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
Cool.
A full 6 years or not even?
So.
Let's say.
What month?
So, not a long reign.
Yeah, not a long reign.
Okay. That, fair. Okay.
But not the shortest one in French history.
Yeah.
That's true. There are a couple that were only a couple days, right?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
So about that.
So,
go
how
ahead.
About that one?
Go ahead.
So,
outtakes.
He wasn't very popular. He,
Who was?
He started the... He was trying to start a trend of the royal touch, which is basically...
That sounds pretty sketchy.
Yeah, it does sound really sketchy. But basically, it's when you, like, when the king touches you and, like, you're healed, basically. So he's basically become God.
So he's pretending like he's Jesus.
Yeah, so he's got a God. Sad. So he's a king with the God complex.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
So, yeah, not very popular. As you can tell, he only reigned for 6 years.
Could have been worse.
It's all this unrest and stuff like that started riots and everything, and so
he actually incited riots.
Well, because of because
he
like
was
him.
Oh people incite. Okay, I'm sorry.
People incited riots because of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it makes more sense.
So basically, he was forced to resign in a sense, and so
he. You mean he wasn't killed?
No. It's like the first king that wasn't killed, you know? Just kidding. So he made his son, Louis the 19th.
19th? Wait, how do I go from 10 to 19?
Louis.
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 Louis. Louis.
Wait, whatever. What was the first guy?
Charles.
Oh, okay, okay. 10th. Sorry. I thought I used Louis also.
We're
saying
his,
that we were butchering the French
Louis,
pronunciation.
His son Louis, the 19th
son Louis.
King, So yeah, and
he had 18 other losers.
He was king for about 20 minutes because
Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis.
The 19th.
For about 20 minutes. It would have been shorter, but or it would have been longer, but his wife pleaded him to give it up for about 20 minutes, and they argued, and he finally cave in, because you always want to cave in to your wife.
Happy wife, happy life.
So
he made his son king.
And then his son was king for 20 minutes.
While he and his wife argued.
About him being king.
Yeah. About his son being king.
No. The king was king for 20 minutes, and his wife argued.
Yeah, his wife.
So
Louis and his wife argued, and Louis's wife said, "Nah, you're not going to be king because it's the middle of the frickin' revolution."
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So his wife became queen?
No, his wife.
His wife's give it up.
And Louis was king for 20 minutes while he argued with his wife, who said, "Don't be king."
Because you're going to get yourself killed.
Who's on first?
Idiot.
Yes. And happy wife, happy life. He quit being king after 20 minutes.
So who was king after that?
Louis. I'm sure he's getting Poppy the first.
Poppy?
I think.
How do you say it spelled?
Poopy. Louis Poopy. Philippe.
Philippe was king.
Philippe.
1830 to Louis 1848.
Okay, wait, pause though. Here's a funny story from my childhood.
Oh, he was there for 18 years.
We used to play Guess Who, and this one girl that I didn't like growing up used to call it Poopil instead of Philip. So, Philippe. Okay, like the horse from Beauty and the Beast. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry.
Is it Philippe or Philippe?
It's Philippe.
It was so. Spanish, it would be Felipe?
I believe so.
Okay. Got it.
Irrelevant.
This revolution was dubbed July Revolution. It's a unique name.
What?
Of 1830.
July. July?
July as in Julius Caesar.
And Charles X, he was exiled.
And August.
And
was
died
in Augustus.
At 1836.
Yes. Thank you.
Who died? I'm sorry.
Charles X.
Charles X, who is the dad of the 20-minute king.
Of Louis. Yeah, the 20-minute king.
Cool. 20-minute man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's not... I don't know. Is it? No.
Moving on.
So yeah, pretty crazy thing in history.
Pretty crazy. 20. Like
20 minutes. 20
years.
Yeah, that's... To be a king.
Oh, that's why you said your segment was going to last 20 minutes. I get it now.
Yeah, that's why I said there's some foreshadowing.
Ah!
I like
that was
it.
Good because I...
Airplane jokes, right?
Wow.
Right, Dallas?
Yeah, right over my head.
Cool. Was it the end of your story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that was really good.
That's what she said. Okay.
Hey, I'm happy with that. If she said that's really good, I'm okay.
Okay, and John Mark, I believe you had a joke?
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did.
I'll tell it if you don't want to tell it,
tell it.
Okay. I'll tell it.
I'll tell it, hold on.
You know what, you're
like
going to tell it.
I feel like Dallas will tell it. He's the one that wrote about Notre Dame.
But it was your joke.
Because it would take me 20 minutes.
It's going to take him 20 minutes to tell the joke.
And I'm not kidding, this really would take me 20 minutes.
I have
minutes.
It pulled up. Are we ready?
All right, she's got it.
Is it okay if I do it, John Mark?
No, and I've got a poem.
Oh, gosh. No, your poem.
But
we're getting to the poem. Hold on.
We're going to...
Who's telling the joke?
You are.
Okay, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. When the famed Hunchback of Notre Dame passed away, the priest placed an ad in the newspaper for a new bell ringer.
Dubbed up Notre Dame.
What?
Hashtag
Notre Dame.
Hashtag Notre Dame. Hashtag bells. Hashtag hellfire. The next day... Hellfire is the song from Hunchback of Notre Dame where he's like, "Dear God, if Esmeralda doesn't want to be with me, let her burn in hell."
Ooh,
wow. That's
some serious friend zone shit. Yeah.
That's my life, man.
Oh, gosh.
That's my life.
I have
friend zone.
I have concerns.
No, not hell or hellfire, effing hell, but... Friend zone, yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
We're gonna have a therapy session for me later.
Patreon only content. The next.
Nobody's gonna watch it.
They're gonna listen to it. The next.
Nobody's gonna listen to it.
The next day, a man showed up to apply. Were you washing your sneakers in the washing?
It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna start
off. You don't wash your sneakers?
Start again, please. From the beginning.
When the famed hunchback of Notre Dame passed away, the priest placed an ad in the newspaper for a new bell ringer. The next day, a man showed up to apply for the job, and the priest was a bit taken aback, as this man
taken had... Taken aback.
Taken back?
Hunchback.
As this man had no arms. The priest explained to him...
A rough life.
Yeah. But you know what? The priest is...
Because you have to knock with your forehead.
But the priest is Catholic. So that's why... And you know, they don't discriminate against people who have disabilities.
The priest explained to him that he didn't see how he could possibly ring the bells with no arms.
That is a bad priest.
I'm assuming that that's a paraphrase of what he said. I'm assuming he didn't actually say those words.
He probably said it in a very...
It's probably fictional, so...
Yeah.
But
probably.
The applicant was insistent that this was his lifelong dream, and he has a system. Since it was almost 5 p.m., the priest thought that he would let the guy try it out and then send him away.
You know what? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
The guy gets up to the bell tower with the priest, and he runs towards the bell and hits it with his face. The priest is shocked and asks the applicant if he's okay. He answers he's perfectly fine. He continues to run towards the bell, striking it with his face. The priest begins to think maybe this will work after all. What? And truthfully, the bells never sounded better. The applicant knew he had won the priest over, and on his next pass... He missed the bell and falls out of the tower. The priest runs down to the street and a policeman arrives.
The priest
asks the policeman, "Do you know his name?" The policeman says, "No, but his face rings a bell." So the next day, this guy's twin brother shows up. Again, no arms. The priest says...
"Rise in the family."
Dude, old-timey, like...
It runs in the
family. Prenatal care was not great.
It runs in the family.
So the next day, this guy's...
Foreshadowing.
The next day, this guy's twin brother shows up. Again, no arms. The priest says, "No, no, no, this doesn't work." But the guy is just as persistent as his brother and wants to carry on his brother's dream. So the priest, again, decides to let him try it just to get rid of him. He does just as good as his brother, hitting the bell with his face. The priest cautions him with every pass to be careful. The guy assures the priest that he will be careful. The priest begins to soften his stand. After all, the bells sound just as good as the day before, and yesterday's instead was probably just a freak accident. The guy knew the priest was wavering, and as he backs up, he steps out the back of the tower, falling to his death. The priest runs down to the street, and the same policeman comes up. The priest looks at the officer and says, "Do you know his name?" "No, but he's a dead ringer for his brother." And that is our joke.
That's a good one. There was just that one.
You know what? Hold on. I gotta do some research. I gotta find out just how heavy these bells really were.
Okay, and while you're looking that up...
We're going to stop recording right now.
No, we're not. We're not done yet. Dallas will be posting a poem on Facebook.
Facebook.
Well, by the time that this is aired...
About real fire.
Probably the same time. Yeah, about real fire.
Yeah. Inspired, actually. Fire. So, in all seriousness and honesty, which... I do things honestly, but I don't do things... Okay. So, part of...
You're burning up?
Too much exposition.
Part of the... This is why I write everything down. This is why I need to write everything down. Part of the reason why I thought of Notre Dame, France, Paris, as the theme for today, was because of the fire that happened
April 15th
of 2019, and it inspired me to write a poem about it.
And again, we will be posting that on social media around the same time that this episode is released, so you should be able to see that. And that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate us on whichever platform you're using to listen to this podcast. If you really like us and want to support us even more, please feel free to donate on Patreon. Our current tiers are as follows. If you donate at the $1 or more per month, you get a shout out on the air as well as access to Patreon-only content. $5 or more a month, you get, again, that shout out on air, access to our Patreon-only content, and you get to choose a topic and or inspiration for us. If you donate at the $10 or more per month, you get all of that. Plus, you can choose a gimmick. For example, drink every time somebody makes a That's What She Said joke. And if you donate at the $20 or more per month level, you get all of that stuff. And you can also tell us which merch you'd like to see. You can also follow us on Facebook, Fourscore and Seven Beers Ago -podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to say hi, you can email us at fourscoreandsevenbeerspodcast@gmail.com. That's fourscoreandsevenbeerspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening.